Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Yo, Ben, it's going to be a fabulous day. I mean, I was coming from Honolulu, and it was raining across the Kualoa. I come down, and I look outside now here at the Mid-Pacific Country Club, looking at the fabulous Kualoa Range. We need this water. It's fabulous, but we've got sun, a little sun just in this pocket in Lanikai, where the Mid-Pacific Country Club is hosting for the 56th year the Mid-Pac Open. Yes, indeed. Oh, 63rd. Oh, the guys over here are giving me hand signals. I told them not to talk. They should just shout out the corrections. Thank you so much, Vince and Mike. But first, I just want to tell you, it's going to be partly sunny today. Breezy, so it's not going to be easy for anyone. Showers scattered in the morning, likely in the afternoon, possibly. And the winds are out of the east, 15 to 25 miles per hour. So they're coming off the ocean. We're on the east side, the windward side. And so those winds coming at us, blowing up towards the mountains, is going to make it a very interesting day. We're going to be talking with Jason Amoy, Ron Haas, Mike Kawaharada, Wes Waihula, Wailehua, and Vince Yim. And they're all here sitting in front of me right now. I've got 188 players going out, 50% cut, approximately $14,000 goes to the first place pro, the professional out there right now. Defending champ is Alex Ching. That's in the pro flight. In the championship flight, amateurs, Matt Ma and Dean Wilson. He is also the senior champion. I can't think of Dean Wilson. It's not possible that he's a senior. That must make me a, yeah, okay. Top amateur, Doug Banks. This is all last year. These are the defending champions. And A-flight defending champion is Tyler Tamayori. The B-flight is David Long. All right. So now that we've set the table, let's bring them into the clubhouse and let them sit down. And they've been here for a while. Thank you so much. Vincium, it's good to have you on the show and get that mic adjusted. Mike Kawaharada, you're an old hat at this. Welcome into the clubhouse, the chairman of the Mid-Pacific Country Club, chairman of the Mid-Pac Open.
Thank you, Danielle.
Oh, we've got to get some volume. There we go, some volume. And we got a late start this morning in setting up. Here you go. You're all on now. All right. Thank you.
Now you can hear me?
Absolutely. Okay. Beautifully. You sound fantastic.
Thank you.
How many years have you been the chairman?
23
years? 23 years. Are you going to, getting somebody ready? Vince.
Yes.
Yim, how long have you been doing this?
Since 2001.
2001. So this is Vince, and he is the vice chairman of the Mid-Pac Open. You guys, are you getting others ready to step into your place, or do you want to do this? No?
Well, yes, we really are trying to do that.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not ready to retire just yet.
No, I don't want you to retire. You're way too good at this. Yes.
But we'll see. It's hard to foresee the future. How's that?
Right. No, it definitely. And getting youngsters, of course, everybody's a youngster to us, getting youngsters to commit to something that requires this much is... It's a challenge, but the membership here at the Mid-Pacific Country Club, they are truly amazing because they give up their course for how many days?
5 days.
5 days.
Yes.
They can't play golf for five whole days. Not only that, most of them volunteer to do something.
Yes, I think this year, Vince, we had how many volunteers?
Officially, we have 111 for about 140 positions. So a third of them have multiple positions,
no
multiple
kidding.
Days.
No sure. kidding. 111?
98% of them are all members.
That's what I was getting at. The membership here at Mid-Pacific Country Club really likes to put on this show.
I think that's right. And our committee chairs, most of them have been committee chairs for, what, maybe 15 years?
At least.
Yeah. We may change the name to the senior run the Mid-Pacific Open at some point in time. Or super senior run.
No. The young ones are coming up, and we must caress the young ones, even though they can outdrive us.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yes. Well, so you got to get over that.
Rich, that's your job, okay?
They have to be, prepped for all the stuff that's going on. This is a great field, but I want to go back to something. I saw Engelkirk.
Yes.
I saw Engelkirk on the scoreboard.
Yes.
What was that on Wednesday?
Well, Engelkirk.
That's you.
That's me.
I knew it was Mike Kawaharada when I saw Engelkirk. And I thought, okay, he was playing. You played in a pro-am. Was it a pro-am?
Yes, a pro-am. Uh-huh. That's the thing that drives the money in the tournament.
That's why $14,000 is available to the top player, the winner.
Yes.
In the
So I make sure my partners put up the money to sponsor a team,
and you get to play.
Get to play. That's correct. And most of those program sponsors are businesses, and what we found out over the years is that we run a pretty good pro-am where the businesses invite their clients, and the clients really enjoy coming out and playing in a pro-am, and they come back year after year. And if you look at that board that shows all the sponsors,
yes,
it hasn't changed much over the years.
No, it hasn't. In fact, I have a list of all the sponsors that I woke up early this morning and put it all together because I wanted to give them all kudos. While I'm looking for that fabulous list, could you tell us where the all of this started? It was the Campos Cup coming together with the Lanikai. One was
correct.
For AMs, one was for pros. Tell us how this all worked out.
Well, it first started with the Lanikai Cup, which was for pros. And Campos Cup was pros.
Campos Cup was pros.
Yes, and the Lanikai Cup was for amateurs. And that started 63 years ago. And they finally combined it, and that's turned it into the Mid-Pacific Open.
That's fantastic. And so it's an unusual open. There are three flights or four flights?
There's four flights.
Four flights for the amateurs?
No. There's three flights for the amateurs.
Okay.
And a professional flight.
Okay, so the professional flight and then the three flights for the amateurs.
Yes. And one of the reasons for that, I think, is that most amateurs will not ever get to play in a four-day tournament with a cut that is played on a course in championship conditions. And that's one of the reasons why we continue offering it for the amateurs.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, what is the entry fee?
What is it?
$370.
Okay. Yes. We've just been joined by a lovely known as Billy the Goat. And we're going to get you set up because a lot of noise coming across the radio is very difficult for people. So we've got you silenced, and pretty soon Billy will have you set up. He is in third place in his flight, playing very well. And you guys aren't playing in today, or do I have to worry about getting you off the air?
I'm not playing. I gave up playing maybe 10 years ago. He plays from time to time, and he wants to play, and I keep telling him I don't want him to play because I need him out here.
Yeah, right, of
but
course.
But he's threatening to play next year again.
Oh, yeah. Well, he needs to play. What did you just say about
amateurs
wanting to play in a four-day?
Sure.
Yeah, Vince, you're very competitive, aren't you?
Pretty much. And I enjoy the competition.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's really what drives a lot of the guys who, they seem to be mild-mannered and very low-key, soft-spoken, but then they get on the golf course and a completely different animal sort of appears.
Very much so. The last 2 days, I welcome all our golfers and old friends, because Mike and I have been at it for so long, and that was the social side of it. It was really enjoyable, but you're right. Like right now, I told everybody, don't bother the golfers once they reach the driving range. because they start focusing.
Yes.
Right? And from that, you don't want to disturb their focus all the way to the 18th hole after they finish the last putt.
Yes.
Yes, just leave them alone. And yeah, it's a different mentality.
What do you do when you get disturbed?
oh, you don't want to go there, Danielle. Oh, if you saw me, I would be coming.
But you guys play, you know, like, you must know your playing companions. I don't want to call them partners because you're not really partnering, but you're on the same tee together playing the course, psyching each other out. How much of that is allowed?
Well, in the social side, yes. We call it judo, right? And we're always edging each other on.
Okay.
But this is a respected PGA sanctioned event.
Right.
So do we play mind games with each other? Not really. It's not match play. It's actually you, the individual, against the Mid-Pack Country Club course.
Jason Amoy.
Yes.
Well, we always blame him, you know, and exactly that, and how he sets it up.
Right.
So you totally focus, and you need to know the wind direction, the grain direction, the little bumps in the greens and the little hidden areas, or for the veterans, we know why he's putting it there type of thing.
Right.
And like the Masters, you divide the green in quads. And you need to know when and where the front door is. You don't want to come in from the side through the window, and the worst place is the back door.
Wow. Did you guys listen to this? I mean, this is really, really important stuff. You've got to know where the front door to the green is. And you don't want to arrive on the back side, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And everyone will basically say, yeah, you want to be on the low side of the pin. Okay, putting toward the pin and basically straight.
Yeah.
If you're 9 o'clock and
3 o'clock,
3 o'clock,
yeah.
The worst place to be, because you're now looking at going side grain and you're looking at the breaks.
Yeah.
For the regular members, it would be a 1 foot break, but today it could be as much as 3 feet.
Wow.
Because it's so fast, it's already plus 12, yeah.
Can you imagine having the media, like at the Masters? This is the Masters in Hawaii. So they have the media play the next day, on Monday after the tournament. They get to play.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They put all the names in a big pot, and if your name gets pulled out, you get to play the course.
Wow.
The way it was set up. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You know, talk about killer.
Okay.
Right? I don't think you expect to have your A game be really an A game when you're playing Augusta National. Yes, it's so different.
And
exactly.
You never want to be downgrain, downwind, downslope.
No.
So, with
the wind coming out of the east today, how does that change the course?
It changes it a little, but I don't believe it changes that much.
Yeah, it's almost normal.
Yeah, because it's north-northeast.
Okay.
Or east-northeast, rather.
East-northeast.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Weather Service put it like just easterly, which I thought was interesting. All right, so I'm not sure. Are we ready for Billy the Goat?
Sure.
Are we ready for you? You've got to get out and play. What time's your tee time?
8:20.
8:20. Now, do you go to the driving range and do you set yourself up there and don't want to be disturbed after that?
Actually, the driving range isn't so bad. In fact, I kind of like the fact that there's noise around it and stuff like that because, you know, that just allows you to focus. By the way, when you asked Vince,
yes.
I think self-talk is one of the most important things you can do. Like, I chant to myself, I am a great golfer, I am a great putter, I am a great in spite of the evidence to the contrary. But I'm serious. You hear somebody out there and they'll miss something and they go, oh, I'm dead junk.
Yeah.
And sure enough, you know, so you can pull yourself out attitudinally. And it's
we see that while we're watching the pros on television.
Yeah.
You can see them either recover, we call it gracefully, or completely go down the drain based on their reaction. But some guys love to just get it out, and then they are able to pull themselves together.
Well, that part's fine. That part's fine.
That's all right.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, the regular golfers trying to play something like this.
Please.
As opposed to the pros and the championship
players.
Sure.
No, right.
Okay. So it's, if bogey golf or better is, like, I would have made the cut in the A flight. And then the way I'm doing it is, and I'm not bragging about this, it's just like on hole number 9, okay? It's par 4. What you want to do is you want to be short of the right-hand bunker because you got a lane into the green, and you can putt
the front
from
door?
Off the green. Yeah, and you can putt from off the green, and if you're lucky enough to get a par, great. But if you're not, you're going to get your two-putt, you know, with a little bit of luck, and you can get your bogey.
Okay, if you're lucky.
Yeah. But going for the champ, they got to go for the green. But with this kind of a course and everything else, it's more about keeping yourself out of trouble and looking at where's the best place to be to get on that green if you can't get on it, you know, and avoid those bunkers.
It's like filing a flight plan when you're, you know, so I'm going to go from here to here and then to here, assuming I am able to go from here to here.
Yeah, the other piece, I don't know how old everybody is, but I'm going to be 75 here coming
he
up.
He loves to tell us how old he is.
No, I do. Because I want to be inspiring.
Yes.
In other words,
yes.
I want to tell people all you got to do is you don't have to be long, you just have to be straight. And if you can hit it straight, if you can hit it straight, you can manage it.
Yes,
you know, that's the biggest problem, really, hitting it straight.
Oh, no, if you take a backswing that comes about to here.
Okay. To here is like to his waist.
Yeah, and then you can hit it, take more club, short backswing.
Just don't go so far back.
Okay, here's Ben.
If I may add my 2 cents.
Of course you can put your 2 cents in.
I think every golfer, at any time of their life, should go out once in a while and take one club, let's say a 4-iron,
okay,
and play 18 holes with 1-iron.
Oh, who used to do that? Ben Hogan played the whole course he played the whole course with a putter.
Different mentality, and it comes down to managing.
Mm-hmm.
A 4-iron, I cannot get out of the bunkers.
Right.
A 4-iron, I cannot do this or that. I don't have the distance to get there. So you start positioning your ball, zigzagging your way through the course,
for
avoiding all the problems.
Yes.
And then, why 4? Well, that's the closest thing to a putter. And you need to learn how to putt. So you hold that face, that edge, and then you stroke it.
Yeah.
Playing Mid-Pacific Open for 4 days is just like that for us amateurs.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm 71 next month.
Yeah, I know. Well, you're young. It's okay. Mike is getting up there, though.
You see, Danielle, our committee chairs are actually golf teachers.
You actually are golf teachers. It's true. Now, I have a question for the three of you. This was something that was thrown out at me about golf not being a sport. It's a game. And I said, wait a second. Basketball is a game and it's a sport. Baseball is a game and it's a sport. Football is a game and it's a sport. So
it's both.
It is both. Absolutely. I mean, you can't, to be able to go 18 holes and keep your mind focused and your body hydrated, most importantly, it's got to be. Vince.
You know what makes golf so tough? If I was a professional basketball player and bang, I got the ball in hand, takes me 5 seconds to get down court and make that shot. Golf, you have 6 minutes between shots, or let's say 3 minutes between shots. And what goes through your mind is a ton load.
Oh, yeah.
Do you fill it with negative or do you fill it with positive? Do you fill it with memories and figure out the repetition that or little idiosyncrasies that you have? I used to have a backswing and I held it up there for a full second. And everyone says, how do you do that? And I say, you know how long it takes to go through my checklist on 84 items?
Yeah, a second.
So that's why it's a slow motion sport, and it's very mental because you're constantly talking to yourself.
Yeah,
right. And then from there you're scanning the playing field. A basketball court is easy because it's only 75 feet by 100 or whatever feet it is, and it takes seconds to get down to the end.
Plus, when you're using your hands, it's easier to throw than it is to use the club to come in contact with the ball.
Sure.
You know, it's a reaction. In baseball, you react to the ball coming at you. It's a, it's like a survival instinct. In this one, you have to be aggressive and yet passively aggressive at times. You can't be overly aggressive. Everything has to be controlled. What are you thinking, Billy?
What am I thinking?
I shouldn't ask that question.
No, that's okay. I got the tee sheet because I wanted to just talk about what Jason does. You know,
Jason, he's going to be on. Can we hold that thought and take a break? We need to take care of the people who make it possible for us to sit here and chat about the Mid-Pacific Open, the Mid-Pac Open. It is today. Spectators, are they welcome to come?
Yes, they are.
Absolutely, you are welcome to come. Enjoy the Mid-Pacific Country Club. You won't get to walk this course ever just as a, you know, rambling onto the course and taking a stroll. Today you can come. You can see what it is like to play this course. We've got Alex Ching. These are the defending champs. Alex Ching and the championship fight from amateurs. It's Matt Ma. We have Dean Wilson in the senior professional fight. They're finished. Aren't they done already?
Yeah, it's a two-day tournament.
Two-day tournament for them. Okay, we're going to get to the young man coming into the office right now. Take this real quick break. Right, we'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood water, broken pipe cleanup, call 24/7, licensed contractors too. Raynor Garage Doors, steel, aluminum, and wood, ready to hang or custom made, sales and service, that's Raynor Doors. Aloha Power Equipment's new mega store is now open across from Costco Ibile. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment's Waipahu store and now in Ibile. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Ibile. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Ibile parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all. Aloha. Waipahu and now Ibile. Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate for that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
I just might do that to us today. We don't know. Scattered showers are possible, but it certainly looks beautiful here at the Mid-Pacific Country Club. It is the 2022 Mid-Pac Open. We were here last year. We're here this year. We didn't have a 2020. Joining us inside the clubhouse now, Jared Sawada, 2017 Mid-Pac Open champ, played at UH, Korn Ferry Tour player, conditional status. He's played, have you had 7 professional wins already?
Yes, I have.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah,
and
thanks,
5-time Sony Open player, made the cut once. What was challenging about that Sony Open?
Any Sony Open or just this past one? They're always tough. There's a lot of people there, so you have to figure out how to handle those nerves and all those feelings that come with that. And you know, it's your all of our dreams to play in there. So when you finally get to do it, you know, you have to set a new dream and set a new goal is what I mean. So, you know, maybe I need to get better with this kind of stuff.
Yes, like all those people and all the noise.
That's
and all
right.
Stuff
that's right. A lot of chatter, right?
Yeah, a lot of chatter. Yes, and sometimes they're not paying attention to you. They're paying attention to something else.
That's true. That's true.
And so you're over there doing your thing, and you're wondering, where's the focus? Do you find yourself getting distracted by the spectators?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, distracted. There's so much going on. All the best players in the world are there, and so you know you're looking around, you're stargazed. So it's tough to, you know, find your own little bubble and just focus.
You know, that was something we discussed last week when the Lotte was being played with Karen Stubbles. She said a lot of the young women who are on the tour tend to look at all the others who are there for a long time and watch what they're doing and thinking to themselves, oh my, maybe I should be doing that.
That's exactly right.
And then you try that, but that'll mess up your own game.
Because it's not you. So you've got to be yourself. That's a trick.
That's the trick.
That's the trick. But, yeah, you see all these people that are better than you, and you think, I have to do this.
To get better.
But you got there for a reason.
Right.
You know, so just continue doing what you're doing and see how the chips fall at the end of the day.
That Alison Corpus, for instance, I mean, she's 24. She's been playing. I mean, didn't she? She was, like, the youngest to play in one of the women's tournaments.
Great player.
Great player. Tied for 30th in the LPGA Drive On. Tied for 18 at Lotte. She
amazing.
Tied for 10 last time I checked the leaderboard. So sometimes we mature later, too, don't we?
Yes, yes. We all learn at our own time and when we're ready to learn what we need to learn.
That's great. That's great. Now, how's the course playing?
Oh, the course is playing great. It's playing very challenging with the winds up this week, and the greens are pretty fast. They're not super firm, but they're firm enough where you can't stop the ball from the rough very easily. So it's pretty hard to get the ball inside of 10, 15 feet.
Wow.
And so not too many birdie opportunities. You really got to control your ball out there.
Wow. Now, I see Srixon on your hat.
Yep.
A sponsor?
That's right, yes. Signed the contract with Srixon beginning of this year. It's been great.
Oh, that's awesome. It's so, you know, getting to the point where you can get sponsors, that must be, who's been supporting you?
Srixon and Oahu Golf Power have been great. You know, FootJoy and TaylorMade give me clubs. I have a 10-club contract with Srixon, so I'm allowed to play 4 clubs from other brands.
Far out.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make it, let's say, your putter. You want
that's
to,
right.
You
that's
want
right. Using a TaylorMade putter.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That's important to be able to have a little bit of an option.
That's
there.
Right. A little flexibility. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Instead of having a 14-club contract.
Yeah.
So.
Like Tiger Woods could tell him to make Nike clubs. Put on TaylorMade
exactly.
logo.
Exactly. How cool is that?
That's so bizarre.
It is. It definitely is.
Well, Jared, I don't want to keep you long. Is there anything you wanted to say? Do you have somebody to want to give a shout out to?
No, but just thank you so much to Mike and Vince and Wes Wadahua for running this tournament every year. All our players really appreciate it. It's our biggest one of the year, and we all look forward to playing it.
Yeah,
so,
and we look forward to following you on the Korn Ferry Tour. Conditional status, awesome to be on the Korn Ferry Tour. Just that one, you feel yourself getting closer.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yep.
You know, and then a goal, and then you got to set another goal.
That's right.
Yeah?
That's right, yeah.
Right on. Well, we're with you, sending
thanks,
all
Danielle.
The positive energy. Jared Sawada, it's been a real pleasure talking with you. Thank you,
Danielle.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Aloha. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home where the Grand Slam lives. Need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Iwilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Iwilei parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Evile.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24-7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID-compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434. Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And if you're just joining us, we're at the Mid-Pacific Country Club. It is the Mid-Pack Open, and we're having a great time learning about the game, celebrating this tournament that brings the professionals together, as well as they are, you know, the champions. But there's the championship flight, and then that's for the very, very good amateurs, like Matt Ma, for instance, would be one of them. And there's also two flights for the guys who are good, A flight and B flight. And so if you make it, you're in great shape. And Wes Wailuhua, CEO and Executive Director, Aloha Section PGA, along with the Mid-Pacific Country Club and all of the sponsors, they've been so, just, they make this possible. And the volunteers, all 111 of the Mid-Pacific Country Club members. These are members, and they're doing more than one job in some cases. So they're dedicated to this tournament that's been going on since 1955, when the Compos Cup and the Lanikai Cup came together. And we're going to meet somebody for the first time. Ron Haas is now the general manager, COO, Mid-Pacific Country Club. He has traveled from Austria to Hawaii to the mainland and back to Hawaii. He comes most recently from Moraga Country Club in California, where he was general manager and COO. Before that, general manager of Carmel Valley Athletic Club, considered Monterey Peninsula's finest athletic club. But you may know him from the Sheraton. Does his name sound familiar? Yes, from the Sheraton, Hilton, and Hyatt Resorts of Hawaii, where he was restaurant general manager from 1990 to 1997. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron Haas.
Good morning, Danielle. Good morning.
Good morning. What's it like going to the first Mid-Pack Open?
As we look behind me out the window, it can't get better than that. You know,
have you ever had an office with this? I mean,
spectacular view? No.
No.
That's one of the things why I took the job. No, just
Oh, I know a lot of people who have taken the job just for that. Just kick back and go.
That's what I thought, kickback, but there's no kickback.
No kickback?
It's been nonstop since I've been here.
No.
But it's been great.
Yeah? No. Yeah. Okay. Now, I imagine every general manager has. Are you accustomed to working for the members?
Yes. Let's put it this way. When I left Hawaii to go to the mainland, I actually worked at Desert Mountain in Scottsdale, Arizona, which is, yes, you know, six Jack Nicklaus golf courses. Now there are seven. I opened three of the six clubhouses and golf courses. So I'm used to the game of golf, you know, Jack Nicklaus, Jim Flick. I don't know Jim Flick school.
Nice.
You know,
yes.
So it's a great sport to be. It's a great environment to be. And the nice thing about members, you know who's coming in, and you can create a relationship with them.
Yes.
Which is wonderful.
That's nice. Now, what I am really excited to talk about is the fact that there's a waiting list here at Mid-Pacific Country Club. That is, when did that happen?
Just happened recently. I wish I could take full credit for this because I've only been here for 4 months. But it speaks again for the environment here. I mean, as we all know, Kailua and Lanikai is a nice piece on this island here.
Yeah.
The club is a wonderful location. We just talked about the view.
Yes.
But what I tell people, it's the heart this club has. The heart is both for the members and the staff. And when you come to this side of the island, you know, you sort of like decompress. You know, you run away from the hustle and bustle, and you enjoy what Mother Nature gives you. But what's added to it is the people, you know, and that's what I think makes this club special. And then you throw this beautiful golf course in the mix. You know, why would you not want to be here?
No, I totally understand.
And as we all know, golf this last few years has been a blessing. You know, if you look at the silver lining between COVID, you know, golf was one of those, safe sports you can do.
Yes.
Little safe haven, you know, people hanging out with people to know. So I think that's also what added to this beautiful sport and this beautiful location here.
Yeah, the country club is wonderful. And there's the exercise facility, there's the pool, there's many different memberships. So there was the golf membership, the overall membership, but there's also a family membership.
So basically all our memberships are a family. So we have the prop membership, which is the full golf membership, which we have a wait list on. And as of right now, we also have a wait list for social, which social gives you, because he's mentioned, the fitness center, the pool, the dining room, and also very limited access to the golf course and the driving range. But like I said, it's a great place to be. The environment is great. And we're having a couple little renovations happening. You know, we're doing the pool. We're replastering that. So it's going to be doing facelifts, which is good.
But you don't want to, you want to keep it, but you want to keep it. And you have to do facelifts to maintain the integrity of the structure and everything about it.
Or you want to keep it fresh. You know,
keep
you want to make sure that people enjoy their amenities and stuff. So.
Yeah,
it's been good.
And if you're wondering, you know, I lived on the windward side, and a long time ago, I would drive home from work in the middle of Honolulu, just going like 100 miles an hour, and then I would drive through the tunnels, and that's when you exhale. You just exhale. It's like, oh, okay, everything's going to be all right. You know,
I totally agree. Every time you come through the tunnel, it's like the angels are singing. You know, so. and I know this place for a long time. You know, my dad actually used to live right next door in Bluestone. So I knew when I moved here in 1989, you know, I knew this place. I know the country club already.
Right on.
So it's amazing how it comes full circle.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And here you are back at home.
Right.
Yeah, our heart stays where the heart stays. I love those three peaks, you know, that you're just sitting here looking at those three peaks, Olomana.
It's spectacular. And the nice thing you just mentioned, home away, come back home, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, originally, like I said, from Vienna, Austria, as I just mentioned, so far away from home. But when I moved here in 1989, you know, I met my wife over here, which is from the Big Island. She's from Lapa-Hoy-Hoy.
Oh, I love Lapa-Hoy-Hoy.
You know, so she's a local girl. So I'm bringing the local girl back to the island, you know.
Yeah.
Took her out of the island, you know, when we had our second child come to Scottsdale, Arizona. Just visualize that, taking an island girl to the desert.
Oh, well, you know, there's so many, I don't understand, so many people are moving to Las Vegas.
Right. Well, I was in Vegas, too, for a short period of time.
Yeah, but what are we doing? Here you are, and then you're going to Vegas.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
No, you can't beat that, you know, but cost of living is always a little tough here.
Yeah, but that's true. And now, so she's home. I bet she must be in heaven.
She's glad to be back home, yes.
Yeah.
So, but we have family still in California, and plus we have now grandkids, too, so.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So wait a second. Hold the phone. You have another child coming.
Not me. No. We left when the second child was coming.
Oh, okay.
That would not be good, having a child coming and being a grandpa. That would be something.
Miracles.
Yeah, hey. I stay young. You know, the sport of golf keeps you young. I read an article that said you play golf, it keeps you, you live longer, 5 to 7 years
yes,
longer.
Yes, it's true. It's the walking.
The walking. The socialization, the communication, the community.
That's right.
I remember my last club, the member said, you know, we love golf, but with COVID, the only thing we're missing is socializing. We can't get into the clubhouse. We can't have, you know, our cocktail after golf and just pick on each other and stuff.
Oh, my dad didn't have a problem with that. See, he carried a little cooler. So he was socializing all the time.
Good.
You know,
and that's what the sport is all about.
Yeah.
And that's what is so special.
Yeah.
You know? And especially during COVID, like I said, the last couple of years, you were able to be outside.
Yes.
Safe zone there.
Yeah.
And you could be with your friends.
Yeah. And speaking of West Wailoa, the Aloha section that's so instrumental in the operation here of the Mid-Pac Open. He really, pages of how to open the club safely, what operators needed to do to make sure that the people who were coming in, because finally, you know, they open the courses and they close the courses and they open the courses. So in that reopening of the courses period, there were so many things that had to be done. And he listed everything and guided everyone. It was really quite amazing, the work that went into that. That was just.
And actually, the good thing with this, it brought the clubs with each other closer together, too, because they communicate with each other, learning from each other, what do you do, what do you do, what do you do. So, and also what helped the last couple of years is actually catapult the clubs to be more current, especially when it comes to technology, when it comes to, like, online ordering and things like that. So it's been a good thing. You know, unfortunately, it was a tough couple of years, but for the golf world, we've learned a lot.
Yes, you know? It's been a real tough, but the coming together of people is really a good, silver lining.
And it goes back to, that's what, again, Hawaii is very special about.
Yeah.
People helping people.
But I think the whole industry
across the
country,
California,
around the world.
I had 16 clubs in my area right there, and we're in constant communication in the East Bay there. So
Wonderful. You were going to say, Mike?
Yeah, it was last year that COVID was raging.
Yes.
And when we started looking at having the 2021 Mid-Pacific Open.
Yeah.
We weren't sure exactly whether we could run it or not run it.
Yes.
But we decided that we could do it on a smaller basis.
Right.
So we were able to adhere to all of the state, county protocols.
Did you follow Wes's list?
Wes actually produced that binder for us.
Yes, it was a binder too.
Yeah.
I sent out a section of that binder to registration. We put her in charge of the entry to the gate.
Right on.
And then I got an email from her. Says, Vincent, this is 11 pages. Mike, volunteers, can I remember 3 pages of it? And I told Yvonne, Mike and I got the full manual. It took me an hour and a half to go through 56 pages. And that's just the COVID prevention and safety.
There's a protocol that we had to follow.
Yeah.
Couple things that happened. We limited the pro-am field to 22 teams because that's the maximum we could place in our dining room.
Yeah.
With the proper
spacing. Yes.
Yes. And we also took only 180 players.
But, yeah.
Because and we canceled the awards banquet.
You can't help but get close to people at a banquet, and people are excited, and all that.
So Vince, reading that manual, it basically taught you patience.
Vince, I don't know if Vince can learn patience.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's sort of,
for a rookie, 4 months with us, you pick that up real quick.
I got the cheat sheet on you, so.
I know. And I would ask all the dumb questions, or I would protest this. Wait a minute, we can't do it that way. Or where's the social side of it all? But suddenly you realize that, yes, I'm a risk taker. Oh, yeah, the virus is nothing to me. But you got to look at the majority, and we got to take care of everybody.
Yeah.
And the tough part for us this last 2 years is that we start talking first in November and December. January, we got to start sitting down and start penciling things for this tournament. And then suddenly in February, the big talk was, what do we do now that hopefully the virus is behind us?
Yeah.
Well, it's not behind us yet.
Right.
So do we do a modified, or do we stay with the protocol that we had last year, 2021? And all this haunted us for at least 90 days, or up to this moment. Okay, how much do we want to implement? And that's a tough call, because then you need to plan, reserve, spend the money, and put this in that.
Absolutely. You see, that's right. Go ahead.
Yeah,
please.
Danielle, it was in November that Wes and I first got together to start talking about the Open. COVID numbers were way down. So we thought, okay, maybe we can do a normal Open.
Yeah.
Well, come December, what happened?
Well, we got a new variant.
The numbers went crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was in December that we had our first budget meeting that we had to figure out what we're going to do. We decided, we're going to have to plan it both ways.
Ah.
So we actually ended up
what we call a hybrid tournament. We didn't do everything that we normally do, and that's what happened.
For this year?
This year, yes.
Yes. Well, I think you did a great job because the one thing people say, well, you know, bring two cautious, but see, if you're not, then if something happens,
yes,
then you weren't cautious enough.
Yes.
So you're walking a fine line. When it comes to health and everybody around you,
yes,
you just have to defer.
Yes.
Last year, at the beginning of the pandemic, Wes became the advisor to the governor on golf. Obviously, all tournaments was canceled because of gathering.
Yes.
And when we first had our tournament, the big discussion was the governor allowed us to have the mid-pack open, but, and that's the caution that Wes gave all of us. We had to, and that's why the 56, 7 pages and detailed, and then here I am yapping away.
Yes.
And says, hey, wait a minute, this is out of hand. Well, then when he sat me down and said, Vincent, we're going to be the first tournament for the state of Hawaii. We mess up. Forget the rest of the year for all the other tournaments. We cannot make a mistake.
That we can't make a mistake. Absolutely.
Yes.
And, you know, when you told me he became the director or the advisor.
To the governor.
To the governor for golf?
Yes.
Okay. As we're talking about Wes, Wes is standing,
yes,
outside the door wondering if he can open the door because he knows radio. And I don't know how Wes can have another job because he's the executive director and CEO of the PGA of America, Hawaii Aloha Section PGA. He's the president of the Hawaii Golf Alliance. He's the CMA president of the Board of Directors, Aloha State Chapter. He's head program coordinator, Kamehameha School's golf team. President, CEO of Hawaii Aviation, and now your advisor to the governor on golf. That's pretty amazing, Wes.
Well, Danielle, first of all, good morning.
Good morning
to you. Always a beautiful Lanikai Mid-Pacific Open, but, you know, I wouldn't say advisor. I would just say that, you know, when COVID did hit, fortunately, the PGA of America and our allied partners were able to quickly activate some of the rules that we had come up with as a guideline. And while many other industries were scrambling to fight to stay open, we already had a plan that we could implement statewide in less than 24 hours, and that was basically our positioning to state agencies and to the counties to keep golf open.
Yes.
And it was really never about, you know, people playing golf. At the end of the day, what we've explained to everybody and to the leadership was it's really about local families and jobs and keeping people employed. And that's what the key effort was in trying to keep golf open for Hawaii.
Yeah, well, we were talking about the file folder.
The COVID master plan book, the 100-page PDF that we created last year. Yeah, I'm glad that's hit the shredder pretty hard this tournament season. But, you know, I will say that, you know, a lot of that stuff was items that we had to create for the tour events and was easily manipulated to move towards local tournaments statewide in Hawaii.
Great. Do you have time to hang for a second here? All of our players who are coming up and into the, it's a walk up from downstairs to come up here, and it's always challenging to be here, and sitting before me, Tyler Tamayori, pronounce your last name?
Tamayori.
Tamayori, that's what I thought. I didn't want to mispronounce. You are a defending champ.
Of the A-Flight, yes.
Yes, of A-Flight. Yes, that's, and you're playing in the A-Flight again?
Championship this year.
Congratulations, that is absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
How are you feeling about the course right now?
Course is in great condition today. Putting greens got a little faster than yesterday. Looking forward to experiencing it because I wasn't expecting to make the cut yesterday. Now that I'm playing championship fight, so I'm just really glad to be out here playing.
That's wonderful.
I've been, you know, dreaming about playing championship flight ever since I was 10 years old. So I'm just really grateful to be out here and playing today.
How old are you now?
I am 16.
16. What school do you go to?
St. Louis.
St. Louis. Yay! Crusaders. Far out. Are you on the St. Louis? Do they have a golf team?
Yes. Yes.
Are you on the team?
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. Who are you? You know, what's your? It's like, Kamehameha School, one of your rivals?
There's always a good competition between the Saints and the Warriors, I can tell you that in the United States.
Yeah, it's really good competition, especially with the football team this year. But, it's really fun playing out there with Kamehameha. I have a few friends from there, too. So, you know, it's just really great to be out there playing ILH and just experiencing it this year.
Yeah, Tyler, what are your goals?
I'd like to, for the tournament or just overall?
Let's start with the tournament.
Okay. For the tournament, I'd just like to place in the top five or better and try and shoot even par one of the rounds, either today or tomorrow, and just experience, learn something new every day.
From yourself?
Yes.
Isn't that, you know, that's the key, from yourself, what's going on inside.
Yeah.
What about your goals for the future?
I would like to go to a Division I college. I'm looking at UH Manoa to play for Coach Scott Simpson now, or Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, and hopefully become a commercial pilot, or if my golf game improves a lot, then maybe go PGA.
Wow, a commercial pilot, though.
Yes.
When did you get into aviation?
Just 2 years ago, I believe. I just really started playing a flight simulator, and then I really got into it and said, hey, I want to do this job.
How did you get into a flight simulator?
My mom and dad bought me one for Christmas.
Oh, far out.
Yeah, so I just started playing with it, and then I knew I wanted to do that.
Oh, that gosh, I didn't know that you could buy a flight simulator and have it at home.
Yeah.
And that's getting into commercial aviation. Well, they need pilots.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a really good idea. Always good to have something like in your back pocket in case that golf thing doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, but got to keep the golf thing always as your, you know, goal.
Right.
Dream. Some people call it a dream. I like to call it a goal, right?
Right.
Right. So good to meet you. Are you going to go on the driving range now?
Yes, I'll be on the driving range now and then back to the putting green.
Right, back to the putting green. Where do you spend most of your time getting ready?
Short game, putting green, because I'm not a very long hitter like all the other guys out there, so I have to really heavily rely on my short game there, so I just mainly work on that now.
Far out. You know your strengths.
Yes,
awesome. Very good to meet you, Tyler.
Yeah.
Have a great round. May you hit the sweet spot every time.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, all right. Aloha. We're going to take a real quick break. We'll be back. It's about 2 minutes. Do you have time, Cody? Okay, great. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Evilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Evilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Evilay.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Whatever your trade, you need more customers. Filling your restaurants, buying your cars, renovating high-rises, using your realty company, buying insurance from you, putting air conditioning in their offices. You need customers. Get them by advertising on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. We have great quality listeners like yourself with ad packages that start at just a few hundred dollars. Call Rick at 808-220-1000 or email him. Rick@RadioGolfClub.com. That's Rick@RadioGolfClub.com. Our listeners are consumers too.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
If you're just joining us, we're at the Mid-Pac Open at Mid-Pacific Country Club, and this has been going on since 1955, where there's one tournament at the Mid-Pacific Country Club, and volunteers here at the club, actually some do more than one job, but they're really the people who make it possible, in addition to, of course, the sponsors and the Aloha Section PGA and the Mid-Pacific Country Club, closing the golf course to members for five whole days. There are 188 players. There are $14,000 going to the first place, the professionals, and we've got one of those professionals with us right now. He's not a professional?
No.
Oh, I thought he was a professional. Okay, he's your A-flight.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. This is Alex Cody. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Hello. Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So you just came to Hawaii recently?
Yeah, came here in September. We joined about the second week we got here, the wife and I, and it's been awesome ever since.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
It is awesome, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a beautiful place. I heard about this tournament real quick after joining, and knew I was going to sign up for it and block the calendar away. It's been pretty awesome. We are tied for second right now, and I have the wife on the bag all weekend. We've been quite the show. We've matched our outfits every day, and so she's out there right now getting the clubs ready, and we're looking forward to day three.
I see the 121st U.S. Open at Torrey Pines.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
What was it like?
I've played Torrey, went to a lot of Torrey tournaments, but nothing like the U.S. Open. I mean, any major is my first one ever, but it was really good.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So how long have you been playing?
My entire life, but nothing to this statue. I've never had a competitive tournament like this. Never played competitive golf, just always have had clubs in my hand, and this is the first.
You've played competitive golf when you've played against your
Nothing to this, nothing like this. This is a whole nother animal. That
is it the course?
The course is in insane condition. It's amazing. I played a few times a week, and I hear stories on how crazy it was going to be, and on Thursday, I couldn't believe it.
They're not exaggerating.
Nope. The pin placements, the greens, the rough, it's like playing on the tour, I guess.
Yes. Well, you know, the superintendent of golf, Jason Amoy, set up the Sony Open.
Oh, really?
For years.
Yeah. He's at Wiley, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Yeah. He does a fantastic job.
That's what you're playing. You're playing a professional event, right?
And Mark Sosa over here, I know he's sitting with us. He runs a fantastic operation, and same with Ron. So I enjoy coming here multiple days a week and having dinner, and it's an awesome club.
Yes, it is. Okay, so what position are you in right now?
Tied for second.
Tied for second.
Four shots back.
Four shots. That's the one I want.
Yep.
And who's in the lead?
His name's Justin. I'm not sure.
I don't
really care about that. I just care about my game.
that has been the subject from the very beginning of the show.
Yep.
Is that in a competition like this, and in fact, in whenever you're playing golf, you just have to play your game.
Yep.
And the best that you can do, whatever it is. Tyler was here earlier. He said he focuses on his short game because he's not long, and he knows that's what he's got to do. He's got to be excellent at that.
Yep.
So when's your tee time?
In 10 minutes.
I'm going to get you out of here. Why? Alex Cody, thank you. What is your wife's name?
Alexa.
Alexa.
Yep, Alex and Alexa.
Alex and Alexa Cody, thank you so much for being on the golf course, playing, having fun, and coming up to visit with us
in the
golf club.
Nice to meet you.
Have a good day. You too. Aloha. All right, we're going to, Mark Sousa is giving me an idea that this gentleman's got to go right now, okay, because we're talking so long. I'm getting all these hand signals from very many people. See how much work is done? It's truly amazing. So at the top of the hour, just about, and I want to do our legal ID in just a second or so. You brought me all these fantastic, in the championship fight, here's Tyler Ogawa, Joshua Hayashida, Brandon Kopp, Dane Watanabe, Alexander Zanes, Tyler Tamayori, he was just in here, doing so well. It's really awesome. Matthew Alamahano and Joe Pensavas, he's been playing for so long. Joe's been around for a long time.
He has.
Yeah.
Yes, he's been professional, amateur, professional, and now back to amateur, which, you know, I think fits him quite well.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it's wonderful. Matt
worked here at Mid-Pacific Country Club also.
Yes, Joe's been here, right. Yep. Matt Ma and Sky Inokoshi. So, and also, since I'm mentioning the 10th place here, Sky, Kian Riesling, Kyle Nakazaki, and there's Jonathan Ocha. Jonathan Ocha's been around forever.
He has. He has. We all have, Danielle. I think it's getting to that point, you know, with this tournament that we've all kind of been around.
Everybody's been around forever, but I haven't been. I don't get older.
See, but I think that's one of the best qualities about the tournament is that this is a legacy event that people count on to participate in. Guys like Jonathan that have played for years and played in U.S. Amateurs and won this event as an amateur before,
yes.
I mean, they look forward to having this and the work that kind of goes into it.
Exactly. Exactly what we spoke about at the beginning of the show, that this is really the only tournament that amateurs have an opportunity to play in a professional setting. So it's set up for professionals to beat them.
From the same tee that the professionals will play from.
And they're playing from the same tee.
Yes.
Oh boy. Yeah. So it's really strong to see everybody here. Mark, I wanted to ask you about your PGA Junior League. Are you still doing PGA Junior League?
Absolutely. We've got our PGA Junior League that's going to be starting in June, and we're looking for 9 juniors. So far, we have 3 signed up. We're going to put a little advertisement in our Mo'olelo, our newsletter to the members, asking for more juniors to participate.
Yeah.
Also, what we started this year, we've got junior golf every Sunday on the first and third Sunday. We got them down on the driving range. And then we've got our Lonnie Kids. Our Lonnie Kids is going to happen this summer, and it's the kids that we bring out. We introduce them to golf. We get them into the fundamentals of the golf swing.
Wow.
And then get them interested.
Cool.
We bring the parents there, too.
Yes.
So we want the parents to encourage them to play, and we've got tee times for the juniors, too.
Maybe the parents will learn something.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Kind of a family golf situation,
absolutely.
Right?
If we can get the whole family in golf and involved with golf, the children, the mom, the dad. In fact, I have a women's golfer, beginning women's golf called Get Golf Ready.
Yeah.
It's what the PGA started way back when we had our 2.0 program. So we got them going, and that is the second and fourth Saturday of every month. Brand new women, and then what I do is I move them up into our Niners group. Our Niners group is ladies that play 9 holes every Friday, and from there we go into the regular Tuesday ladies, which we average about 80 ladies every Tuesday morning.
80?
80 ladies every Tuesday morning. And guess who gets to start them every Tuesday morning?
You do.
You know what, the women, if you know the women, you know the pulse of the club. So if you keep the women happy, pulse of the club, and
there you go.
Keep things rolling.
Yes. Well, the pictures that my friends who play here post on social, boy, they're all smiling. So they're happy. And you're keeping the ladies happy.
Absolutely.
The PGA of America has done amazing work in making sure that all of these programs are supported and nourished so that everybody is having a great time. Rick, we need a microphone on Wes, please. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Rick. You know, and that's one of the great things of being a nonprofit, Danielle, for the PGA of America, is to do that. And to Mark's point, you know, our newest rollout is PGA Family Cup, which is actually bringing the families together and basically creating one opportunity, one tee time at a time by having the family there to compete. So this year, that's one of the goals that we're taking on, is to create our own Family Cup League that'll bring clubs together and families together to play against each other. It's one step up from taking it from, you know, PGA Junior League,
yes,
to make it a family type of event.
Yes.
But, you know, all these programs and all these activities that we fund and do, whether it's, you know, our Patriot Golf Days or PGA Hope or all these other programs, all of it comes back to fundraising money. And that's one of the things that we haven't done the last 2 years with our foundation. We've actually put everything on hold so that other industries could probably get started back up again. And this year, that's what we're trying to do.
There was one fundraising, 100 holes of golf.
We did have that with David as our first start.
Yes, that was 100 holes. There were 5 days,
holes,
5 days,
holes
100 holes
yep.
every day. Not only did he play 100 holes every day, he flew from island to island.
He did.
I mean, just flying, going up and that and down, and then driving to your hotel and sleeping, getting up and playing on. Fortunately, he had some support. The guys who you know, like.
He had quite a bit of support from a lot of sponsors, a lot of fellow PGA professionals.
Yes, those guys.
You know, from the foundation to get there. And David Havens, who is our current section president, has been very aggressive about reconnecting with the membership and with sponsors. And that's why, you know, next month we'll be out here for the PGA Classic Scramble, which is our largest fundraiser event that funds everything that we do.
When is that?
May 23rd here at Mid-Pacific Country Club.
May 23rd. Yeah. Wow, we need to talk about that.
And unlike a lot of the other foundations in Hawaii, we give back out a little over 96% of the funds that we raise. So everything that's pulled in for the year goes back out to support all the junior programs, all the military programs, all the growth of the game programs from DCP, from PGA Junior League.
Yeah, that's a lot. All right, we are KORLYNI Honolulu. It's so exciting to see, like, to me, 100 holes of golf, I'd be like, you know, give me 4 days off. I need to recover. David's out there playing 100 holes every day. But not only did David, the PGAs who were with him, that they played with him, I thought they would just kind of ride along, make sure he was doing okay. How dumb of me, right?
No, it's something David wants to continue to do next year, and I think that's great. It actually creates good awareness amongst each of the different islands, and it kind of connects neighbor islands all together. So I think it's a great program that we're going to try to continue to support.
Yeah, well, that's great.
Yeah.
So how do we find, if someone's listening and they like the family golf day, family golf together, what is the program exactly called?
PGA Family Cup.
PGA Family Cup.
Yeah,
they like that. They want to know how to get into
it. If they go online to pgafamilycup.com or .org, I believe it is, or PGA Junior League, they'll be able to go direct into the site and try to start searching for facilities. Hawaii is not quite set up just yet. We're trying to get clubs to help sponsor teams.
Okay.
So the best thing they can do is either email us at the office or contact the office. We'll direct them to a PGA Junior League site first, and then eventually roll out Family Cup, hopefully in the fall of this year.
Oh, great. So, there's PGA Junior League. Just to give people an idea, this is does everybody have the same uniform on, like a little...
Yes.
That's so cool. And
right.
How many... So you want 9 kids?
Yeah, we got 9 so far. We got 3 signed up. We've already got confirmation with the Oahu Country Club, Wailea Country Club, Honolulu Country Club, and Hoakalei. So we're going to try to get together. And then they play here, and then our juniors will go to those clubs.
And so there's groups, there are teams of 9, and are they playing match play against each other?
They're playing a scramble.
Scramble.
Scramble, right. So we switch off every 3 holes and get a team in there so they can play at least 3 holes.
So. I see. So you don't have to play the whole time. It's not on you to be that.
Correct.
Right.
It's one of the best ways to create a competitive environment in a very fun, social, engaging way.
Yeah.
And that's why, to me, I love it, and that's why the foundation needs to support it, is because we don't want to turn away any family.
Right.
And if families do need scholarships of some type to help support it, their PGA coaches will reach out to us, and the foundation will actually help fund some of those scholarship programs so those kids can participate with those junior league programs.
That's wonderful. So let's break this down. So we've got the PGA, the Aloha Section PGA,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of the umbrella.
The PGA of America is our overall umbrella. It is our brand. It is the big brother that operates now out of Frisco, Texas.
They're in Frisco.
Yeah, that's where our new corporate headquarters is. We've relocated from West Palm to Frisco.
Excellent.
Just north of Dallas. We have 2 entities, our PGA Reach program, which is our nonprofit at a national level. And here in Hawaii, we have our Aloha Section program, which deals with our membership and our tournaments. And the Aloha Section PGA Foundation, which is our non-philanthropic nonprofit arm that supports everything golf in Hawaii.
Yeah, so the foundation raises money to put the money back into
back
the community.
Back into the industry, yes.
Right,
yes.
And 96% of the money?
96% of the money will go back out to the industry.
So that's wonderful. So the scramble coming up, how do we get into the scramble to help all this?
ASPGA.com, there's a page on the front. They can download the app. We are still looking for some teams to help sponsor. Our most popular sponsorship is a gold sponsor for $1,800. It's three amateurs, and then we put a PGA professional with you. We pride ourselves as being the fastest pro-am event in Hawaii.
Fastest?
It's a scramble event. We'll finish just under 4 hours. And then have an early dinner and send everybody along the way. Everybody goes home with something great. Maui Jim is our title partner this year, so everybody will get a pair of Maui Jim sunglasses for participating in the event, along with rounds of golf and a bunch of other prizes that get donated from the industry.
Everybody gets a pair of Maui Jim?
Everybody's going to get a pair of Maui Jim.
That makes that $1,800 seem...
Yeah, it's a $400 value, plus the golf, plus the food, plus a great time, plus you get to see beautiful Lanikai and visit Mark and Ron. And
everybody step up.
Experience the country club at its finest. Yeah.
So. And it's right here.
Yeah.
In case you wanted to find PGAFamilyCup.com, it's a .com, but we don't have the PGA Family Cup ready yet. But if you wanted to find out more about it, kind of look into it. PGA Junior League is happening, and that's PGAJuniorLeague.com too, you think?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, and then to get into the scramble, we go to
ASPGA.com or give our Aloha Section PGA office a call. I'm happy to help you.
Yeah, right on, right on. Can we take another break? You guys got to run. I don't know who's got to go. We're all here? We're all here. Okay. I want to do the sponsor shout-out, and you know... We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club tip number 72. Don't throw your club over the fence. It slows down play. We'll be right back with Danielle Tucker in a few moments. Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24-7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID-compliant. Compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor. Insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Poipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home where the Grand Slam lives. Need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Someone who lives in my heart, in my mind, who's always with us, who passed recently, and his wife shortly after that, is Hal Okita. That's how I've always dealt with people passing. I didn't go to the eulogy. It's really hard for me to. When my father passed, I wasn't able to go to his funeral. So when I went to see him, where he is, I immediately sat on. It was like at that moment I realized he was gone, and I had been gone for a long time. So Hal Okita is always alive. And he was the most embracing, even when I was just starting 20-some-odd years ago in doing my golf show, he was so supportive. And I was learning so much about the game and the people involved in the game. And I saw a picture of him and I together. And he's always made me feel just embraced and warm and perfect. Mm. And that's how Akita, I think, made everybody feel. Wes Wailuhua, you were speaking at the eulogy.
I think I've known Hal longer than my dad.
Wow.
My dad passed when I was 18, and I've known Hal since 95.
Wow.
So over 25 years. And he had asked me about 5 years ago to do his eulogy. I forget how it came up, but I thought he was crazy. And when he was sick, I visited him, and I used to go to the house maybe once a week or every other week to check on him. And I told him, I said, Hal, I think you're overly medicated. I don't think you want me to do it. But I did it yesterday. I did it yesterday. It was very emotional. Hal and his wife, Rowena, I will say, come from a different generation. They come from a generation of family first, working hard, doing what's right, and love for God.
Yeah.
And I think
love for people.
Yeah. And
yeah.
I think that basically sums up what a great man he is to all of us.
Yeah.
And a giant in our industry that has never really taken the credit, but has always been behind the scenes of everything that's moved golf in Hawaii.
Yeah. And he was here when I first started, and he just, that's why I feel so comfortable in this office. He said, make yourself at home.
And I will say, Danielle, I never told the family when they picked the date that this was the week of the Impact Open, knowing how he would want us to move it, and I didn't want that to happen. It should be about him, and if this was the day that it ended up being, then so be it. So
it's kind of perfect.
And I think it was quite appropriate, yeah.
Yes, it's perfect.
Yeah.
He was, a part of the Mid-Pac Open.
Yes, he is.
Yes, always, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Love and aloha. And just take a moment to remember how, as you're, in your day when everything just seems to be gray and people aren't smiling, and you just kind of close your eyes, or if you have a picture, look at him, because it'll automatically put you in the right frame of mind.
Absolutely.
He always did that for us. Not putting us in the right frame of mind all the time on the golf course is a wonderful person. We've been talking a lot about him, and no one has said anything negative at all.
Right.
No.
Yeah. Well, Danielle, didn't make it to this morning. The ones that did make it to this morning have a lot of nice things.
Yeah, Jason Amoy is our superintendent of golf here at the Pacific Country Club. Good morning. And everyone said, in fact, the last guest who was here, Alex Cody, said it was set up very professionally. And I said, well, the guy who did it had been setting up the Sony Open for years. And he goes, well, that explains it. But and he said he'd been playing here over and over and over again, just joined maybe 9 months ago. But it was so different the way it's set up now. And I thought to myself, how do you take the golf course from membership play to the championship level play that you have it at? In what, a day?
It kind of seems that way.
Yes.
I guess the term I often hear is, so when are you going to flip the switch? it kind of happens that way. We ease into it, and then right in midweek, Wednesday, Thursday, everything kind of clicks, and we flip the switch. And really to transform the character of the course from everyday member play to championship play like this, it's really about the speed. The speed, especially around the greens for the course that we have, really brings out the architecture that's out there. And it's always out there. But you don't realize just how much there is until it gets really fast and the wind starts to blow. And then all of a sudden, you're on a whole different golf course.
Isn't that something? Isn't it? Now, I was speaking earlier about in the Masters, and the day after the media, they're invited to play if their name gets pulled out of the hat, because there's so many of them, not everybody is allowed to play. And, you know, they play it the way it was set up for the Masters. They, you know, fall on your face kind. But wonderful for them to get that experience. Have any of your members shown an interest in playing it the way it's set up now after the tournament is over?
Actually, we've done that every single year that I've been here. On the Monday after, we keep the same holes, the same flags go out. We even roll the greens on Monday. And anybody and everybody, come take it on. Let's see what you got. Yeah, we do it. And the members look forward to it, if, you know, especially the ones that I have had people actually take vacation on a Monday away from work to come and play. You know, a lot of the spotters who don't get to play on Saturday or Sunday, they get, you know, they're watching it all weekend long.
Right.
And they really want to get out there, especially on Sunday, especially because of how we set it up for Sunday.
Yes.
And they come out. They come out and they play and they get knocked around and some of them quit, actually. They just can't take it anymore. But it's always memorable. Yeah, we do that every single Monday, just like they do at the Masters.
And that's why this is the Masters in Hawaii. Yeah. We have a champions dinner and we have the Monday after play. That's I didn't know that. You know, I learn something every year. With the water situation and it's being so dry this I don't know how the wind works.
It's been very dry.
Okay.
Very dry winter.
And the forecast for the summer is not much, you know. What are we going to do?
We're going to go back to the Brownies Beautiful.
Brownies Beautiful.
Yes.
Yes.
And, you know, really for our course, the way our course is set up as, you know, a true link-style course, it's not all that bad. Like I said, you know, the characteristics of the course, the architecture of the course comes out as it plays faster and faster. And so it's kind of inherent that if we cannot water, we get limited. We don't know what's going to happen in the months to come.
Right.
The playability of the course is going to be fine. It's going to be fun. It's going to be firm and fast. I mean, right now, you hit the middle of the fairway, you're going to get 50, 60 yards of roll.
Yay!
Yeah, you know, the members love it. Yeah, they
without,
saw
without
it
already. Buying new equipment. You know? You know, but I will also add, Daniel, that Jason, one of Jason's greatest things in working with him is that he has these small subtleties that he'll do to the course that enhances it. That unless you're actually looking, you'll see some of the great things that he does, whether it's the trimming of the bunkers or the position of the pins or the tee locations. I mean, and I think that's what makes it extremely special for Mid-Pacific Open.
Yes, absolutely. It's like
it's like an artist.
Yes, like what you said.
An evil artist.
All right, so he's evil.
Diabolic.
All right. You know, I had that in my notes from years past, diabolic. I go, yeah. I don't want to pull that name out of it.
It's a very familiar name.
It is a compliment, though, isn't it?
At its highest, I mean, you know, we were talking about a couple of the bunkers where I noticed a couple of the entries from the green to the bunker side were like shaved. If they spun it back, it was going in, you know. But I mean, it's the subtleties like that and the pin locations that he picks that I think really make players appreciate how challenging a course can be. You know, we've come from the era of 7,000 yard courses.
Yeah,
and this is not a 7,000 yard course, but it's playing like it, even with the roll.
It hurts you much.
Yeah, it you play it well and you'll benefit. You too aggressive and you could be penalized. So.
Yeah.
I think he does a great job every year, and we're grateful for him.
Oh, Jason.
Thank you.
Does a great job every year, and everyone always compliments what, of course, on the golf course they're probably not saying the complimentary things. But you know, you're such a professional. What you said about the architecture doesn't stand out regularly, but you bring it out during these times. And you don't see it until now. And it's the same thing that you're saying in it adding to that, the way you're
enhancing
all that and shaving here and there that, you know, unless you've got the eye to see that and know what you're getting yourself into, well, then you're into it right in the middle of the bunker. Yeah.
Yeah. And what it does is it puts a premium not only on playing around the greens, but you got to go all the way back to your tee shot, and you can't like the 7,000 yard course and you just go and bomb it as far as you can. You can't do that here and be on the right and be on the left and have the same result. There's going to be a difference depending on those little subtleties, where the pin is. If you're on the right, you may have a great shot. If you're on the left, you may be dead off the tee box and have no shot.
Yeah.
And that differentiates, I think, between the good golfer, the better golfer who can place his ball where he needs to strategically get to the pin, and the guy who can, yeah, he can bomb it 300 yards, but he's on the wrong side.
Yeah.
Right, and now he's got to recover.
It's the guy who drives the green versus the guy 30 yards short who has a better approach,
yes.
You know, and instead of the other guy over the green trying to come back at it.
Yeah, what was the front door of the, you got to find the front door of the green. You know, you don't want to come from the back door. That's earlier in the show that we're saying, don't come from the side. You don't want to be on the side. You want to be on the front door.
Was that Mike K talking about that? Because he kill approach it from any side.
No, that wasn't Mike. It was Vince.
That makes perfect sense, right, Jason?
Actually, you know, I've been asked that question a lot, and you know, everybody's all about staying below the hole when they come and experience what we have here.
Yeah.
And they ask me about it, and I tell them, that's true, but keep in mind, below the hole is not always in front of the hole. Sometimes the below the hole is on the side of the hole or from the back of the hole. And that's where experience comes in. The guys that come year after year after year and enjoy it, and that's why they're coming back, they come for those little subtleties. They learn about the course. They learn about the course and its architecture, and that's what's great about Mid-Pack Open is that you don't get to learn the true nature and character of this course until you see it play this fast, and then you realize, oh, maybe I should be here for this pin, or I got to be on the left, or I got to be in the back. But until you come and play it multiple times at this speed, you don't see it, and you don't get it, and it's just, you know, bomb away and try to hit the middle of the green.
Bomb away. Yep, some people just love the distance. You know, it's like they hit it, this quack, that sound of impact, and that's just why they're on the driving range all the time, and then they come out on the course and they take their driving range game to the golf course, and it makes them happy. That score doesn't make them happy.
No, it does. You're right. But they're also the guys that are yelling, sit, sit, sit.
Yeah. I saw a classic example just yesterday on hole number one. Pin was kind of front left-ish, and three guys in the fairway, they obviously laid up because they were hitting like 90, 100-yard shots into the green. They bounced it up, held the green, so they're putting for birdie at like 10 feet, 12 feet. One guy was deep left. He must have had about a 40-yard shot out of the left rough, though, and he had to go over the front bunker. He carried the bunker. He hit about pin high, and his ball just continued to roll and roll and roll, rolled off the back right. He couldn't put spin on the ball because he was in the rough, but he was way closer. He went to the back right. Unfortunately, hit up onto the green. Now the green's running away from him, rolled all the way across and back into the front bunker. So, you know, that just goes to show you, you know, you have to have some experience on this course at this speed if you're going to play on Saturday and Sunday.
Jason Amoy is the superintendent of golf here at here at Mid-Pacific Country Club. West Wailahua is the CEO, executive director of the Aloha section. And, you know, Wes and his wife donated to make this all happen. So did not Vince. I wasn't thinking of Vince. I was thinking of Mike Kawaharada. I have about 60 seconds to take care of the sponsors. I want to thank Ron, Jason, and you, Wes. Thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Nani. Thank you, Aloha Power Equipment's Megastore, for being a sponsor. Aloha Power Equipment's new Megastore, next door to the Costco gas station on Alakava in Iwile. You'll find all of the Aloha Power Equipment you need or want. Riding mowers, they've got robotic mowers for those side hills, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, and a whole lot more. The Waipahu store is open, and their mega store on Alakava. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. MD Restoration, flood or fire disasters, need help right away, call them. 528-3434. That's MD Restoration. They're on it. They're contractors. They're licensed. They can do the cleanup and the repair. And we're very proud, honored to have the support of the Aloha Section PGA. The best way to get good at this game is to learn from a PGA, a PGA of America member. Takes a lot of time to become a PGA of America member. They love the game. They love teaching. Find one, your nearest golf course. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2022.